AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my
new series, Parrish.
My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from a life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
It is a very special week. Yes, today is the first official day that the Almost Famous podcast is breaking down this year's episode of The Bachelorette. Ashley, how pumped are you to be back in season now officially?
Oh, it's so fun to have something to concretely talk about.
It is. It's great. We've had a lot of fun in the off season. A lot of stuff happening in Bachelor Nation. Not as many changes as maybe the off season before.
But you mean still, last year?
Yeah, there's a lot of changes then. But now we're back talking about this season. I have a feeling, Ashley, before we do this podcast, I always get on Twitter and try to get the like very non-scientific vibe.
Consensus.
Yeah. Of what Bachelor Nation is feeling. I will say this to kick us off. I think they really like Gabby and Rachel a lot.
I think so too. And I think I'm so excited for everyone.
Yeah. And I think they're going to like Gabby. Like this isn't I don't even know what season it would be where we like start out really liking the lead. And then as the season goes on, we kind of like you know, we don't like him as much now. I think Gabby and Rachel are only going to continue to shine throughout the season.
Yeah, when you like look up stuff, even on like message boards, people seem to always be positive about them. There's like not a lot of hate out there, not a lot of criticism. I mean, I don't want to say hate, but criticism. And I think that we had people come to Audrey's yesterday for a watch party.
Yeah.
It was a packed house, and I had already watched the episode. I was getting some work done in the back room when the episode was actually airing, you know, when people are mingling about before the episode. Of course, I'm out there, but I was listening to the crowd reaction, and they loved the episode. They were so vocal, and they were laughing, and it was totally different than the Clayton season. The Clayton season, we got more like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But with this, we got a lot of laughter, a lot of like cheering. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to be well followed. That is interesting. Ashley, your watch party, do people watch it, or is it just on in the background and people aren't engaged? Or are they very engaged?
No, that's like, it's really cool. I thought, oh, we're going to have a watch party. It's like an excuse for people to mingle. They're not going to ever pay attention to the episode. And then they're going to have to go home and watch it. But not at all. So we do, like, I like go around the room before the show. And then after the show, Jared and I do like a little meet and greet mingle. And we do like Q&A during like an intermission and like towards the end. But like people are glued into the show the entire time. It's nice. Really nice. They're totally engaged.
That is nice. Mm-hmm. Now here's the weird part, Ashley. Something interesting to consider. The ratings have just came out as of 27 minutes ago.
Holy crapoli. Oh, God, Ben, the suspense. Make it even more suspenseful than you already are.
It is crazy to think this. Season 18, so last season of ABC's Bachelor, averaged a 0.65 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic and 2.8 9 million viewers. That's last season, okay?
2.89 million. 2 million.
Yeah. 2 million.
Okay.
800,000. Okay.
For Michelle's. Okay. And?
Last night, in the 18 to 49 demo, it was down 24% with 2.7 million viewers, which is a total of being down 9% from last year's premiere.
What was the number, the million number?
2.7 million.
2.7 million versus 2.9.
Yeah.
Damn. Is
that interesting? I did not expect that. I really thought...
Neither.
That last night was going to be a massive home run. Now, I think it still won the evening. I think it still was the highest watched show on network television. However, people maybe aren't tuning in night of. That could still be a thing. Maybe when the streaming numbers come out, they're going to see that people tune in tonight or tomorrow. But it's down, which is shocking to me as we get started. I think it's going to be a great season. I will say right now, I think people should watch this season if they're at all a fan of the franchise and they're looking for maybe that kind of throwback, old school feel where the contestants so far haven't added a lot of drama. The Bachelorettes are incredible leads. I think this is going to have a great feel, but as far as we know right now, people didn't tune in, and so we're going to have to wait and see. That doesn't change our excitement for this season. It doesn't change our excitement to break down this episode. We have a whole lot to break down, and so let's start, Ashley, with the introduction of the two Bachelorettes. You mentioned during the 12 Days of Celebration that you felt like it was we were having a hard time as viewers connecting with the leads over the last few seasons. Did you feel like the show did a good job last night helping us connect and root for Gabby and Rachel?
I feel like Gabby and Rachel are our friends.
Okay.
I definitely feel like we know them. They're like our gal pals.
Yeah.
And I want to reiterate, I feel like we've gotten that sense of unknowing more so with the Bachelors and Bachelorettes, because like I feel pretty friendly with Michelle and Katie too, even though I don't know them both personally very well.
I would say the same thing. I think The Bachelor needs a great season. I didn't, and this is just a side note, I didn't see last night, it's too early on, any guys that stood out as like, that's going to be the next Bachelor. Like, that looks like the Bachelor to me. I think there should be some guys in the weeks 2 and 3 that really shine and shows who they are, and we'll go, oh yeah, that makes sense now. Last night, I just didn't get that feeling, which is great because it was very focused on Gabby and Rachel. Best part of the episode to me was right off the beginning. Can you guess what it was? I'll just tell you right now.
I don't want to guess.
The so amazing missed belly bump that both of them did when they saw each other after Rachel landed in LA in her plane and Gabby went to pick her up. And they like belly bumped each other, but like one of them didn't really get off the ground. The other one kind of did. And they kind of just like missed each other and then fell backwards. I was like, I like these girls. These girls, these are real girls who are just here to have a good time and to try to figure out if this thing can work. And that's when I was like, I am cheering for them from now until the end.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know what makes me laugh? When Gabby's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like she said yesterday in our interview, and if you did not listen to our interview with Gabby and Rachel, we encourage you to go back and listen to that. That aired last night at 9 p.m. We had both leads on. Gabby admitted that Rachel puts words to thoughts and that Gabby just likes to stand there and kind of say, yeah, because yeah. Rachel has the words. And I think that's great. Good for them.
I love that. That's like us, Ben. You're like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah.
Well, sometimes you have to have a great partner and you balance each other out. And I think they're going to balance each other out really well.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. you cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit, and it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, so that leads us into the second segment of the episode, Ashley, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. The men were filmed watching kind of the announcement of the two bachelorettes. We kind of had a behind-the-scenes look at them watching with their families or in their hotel rooms. What did you think of that little segment?
Okay, I liked the segment that felt like draft day. they were sitting there waiting for their names to be called, right? Everybody was so excited when the two were announced. And it did seem like real genuine excitement that they were getting two bachelorettes and the two bachelorettes were who they were. Really, really adorable, actually. What I don't remember now, like now that I'm like 24 hours removed from watching the episode, there was no package, no guy package that really stood with me as being like, ah, oh, that's one. There wasn't really, was there? Did they even like have packages?
We didn't have packages.
Okay, we didn't have packages. That's why I don't remember, guys. That's why I don't remember. But we did get like little intros, little here or there's, right?
Yeah. I will tell you this. I'm not.
I don't remember intros.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy two things that happened last night. One, none of these guys were introduced to us months ago at some live show. I'm over that. That was just weird. It didn't make any sense. I felt like it kind of set them up to be front runners early on, even though a lot of them never lasted past the past early on. But it was just awkward, and it didn't really make sense to me. The second is I can go without the packages. I mean,
apparently, we definitely can go without the packages.
I just, though, there are some packages in the past that do stand out to me. You do get to know the guys a little better, some of them, from these packages. But oftentimes, if you've noticed recently, and tell me if you think I'm crazy, a lot of the packages have included people that just don't last very long. So we waste a half of the episode watching a bunch of dudes who we don't watch past night one.
So, so true. Yeah. Because really, the producers don't know when they go and they pick, you know, they pick like a third of people to go meet in their hometown. They don't know who's going to really last.
No.
They can just use their best guess.
Yeah, so I'm okay trying without it. I mean, I do think some of them are important. I remember the Tyler Cameron package where he's like shirtless dancing around in some house that he was building back then. And I was like, what? That dude's like a bat. Like, he's like a professional dancer. Like, well, how's this going to play out? He's so like agile.
Yeah, that was the beginning of like his Patrick Swayze vibe.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah. And then, you know, that sticks with me. I remember that package. But for the most part, they're pretty forgettable. And so we just got the behind the scenes of them getting excited about the announcement. Probably one of those reasons, and I think we're going to have this all season. One of the reasons I'm excited, they probably cut packages because they're going to have so much content to show that we don't need any filler space. Like, we don't need those
exactly
random kind of segments that don't make a lot of sense for the season. I bet we have less B-roll this season than ever, where people are walking around the cities. I bet we have still beautiful pictures of the landscape, but I think we just have a lot of content to get through. I mean, we saw it with Gabby and Rachel. They said it yesterday. They barely got to talk to anybody. They talked to half of the people on night one. Because I think
that's wild.
It's wild. I talked to every single person. Every single person and I had spoken on my night one, not because it was something that, I mean, I wanted to do that, obviously. I think everybody wants to do that, but it was just part of it. Like, you did, we were able to do it because there wasn't so many. They only got the half.
Yeah, I think Chris Soules maybe didn't talk to like four or five of the girls, but out of, I think we had 30. That's a huge chunk. Yeah. And the fact that, like, they said collectively they only got through half is so crazy. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, there had to be more going on behind the scenes. I bet they had more time, Rachel and Gabby, talking, like, on the side that they were filming. Because if two of them, like, between the two of them, you would think they would have been able to get to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think
one, you know, the guys may not have talked to both, but
yeah, I don't know. So, okay, so we get to night one. Now, Ashley, we are at the mansion. The guys are going to be pulling up. They're getting excited. What are your thoughts now in this moment as you're watching the episode? Are you excited? Are you anxious? Do you feel like you're watching The Bachelorette again, or do you feel like this is kind of some spinoff show because there's two Bachelorettes?
Oh, I feel like I'm watching The Bachelorette.
Okay.
There are two things that really stand out to me about like this section of the episode. One, why did Gabby get the much better dress?
Good question. Do you feel like
I feel like I wanted to almost ask them yesterday, but I was like, no, I'm not going to say that to Rachel. Like, that's sad. Like, of course not. But like, Gabby gets this va-va-voom dress and then Rachel's like covered up to her neck. I don't know. I just wasn't a fan of that dress. And I just thought that like one was such a stunner, interesting, unique dress. And I think it says a lot. I think like it actually like something like that, while it seems vain and surface level, I think in a moment where the two of them are standing next to each other, they need to have comparable dresses.
Yeah. Here's the truth. I didn't even realize this. I don't even remember what dresses either of them were wearing. But I'm glad you bring that out. Now, I imagine, Ashley, at least in my scenario, they picked their dress.
Of course. You're probably right. There was definitely a say. It wasn't like Carrie, the stylist, was like, you're going to wear this and you're going to wear that. I'm sure that they had both a selection to choose from. And I'm not saying that like obviously Rachel's dress was pretty. It's just like, Gabby's dress was so sexy and so like interesting. And then there was just like, blah. Let me know, people. Am I being mean or do you totally understand what I'm saying?
Mean. No, I don't think it's mean. I think it's a fair opinion.
I wonder, though, if we go one step further and say, okay, if they got to pick their dresses, is this a part of showing who they are, their personality is?
Yeah.
That, you know, Gabby felt more comfortable on night one, you know, in that dress and kind of, you know, showing who she is. And then Rachel said, no, I want this dress to show who I am. And that's just kind of their unique personalities.
Look at you, Ben.
Side by side.
I love the way you think.
Well, no, I mean,
because it is, you know, Rachel is definitely more reserved.
Mm-hmm.
She is like less sex forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gabby's like talking about, she's like, it hasn't been a year since I've had
sex.
She's like talking about making out and all that.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't see that from Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, so, that's a great point.
So it's a good parallel. Something to watch throughout the season now is their mm-hmm. two personalities kind of shining uniquely amongst each other. Okay. So the guys pull up to the mansion. Ashley, I think for just sake of simplicity here on this podcast, let's go through some of the intros that stood out to you. Which ones are memorable to you? Which ones are forgettable for you? Which ones are also maybe memorable, but a tad, I don't want to say awkward, but maybe unattractive for you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through some of those intros. You lead us along here.
Okay. And I just want to make my second point was that I noticed that the guys would hug Gabby or look at Gabby first. And I don't even know that that's really an attraction thing because I think both girls are so gorgeous. I think it might be like an open thing. Like Gabby might be like a little bit more like outgoing.
Yeah. I thought about this because I remember my night one on The Bachelorette and having two bachelorettes there. And I remember sitting in the limo right before I walked out and I asked the producer, Todd, who was sitting right across from me. I said, which one do I say hi to first? Like, is there this is my night one. I have no training in TV or how this camera stuff works. So I was like, is there a formula, all right, on how you want to do it? He goes, no, you say hi to whichever one you want. And that made me more nervous because I was like, well, crap, I'm going to lose either way here.
Yeah.
And so I just said hi to the person on the right first. Because it's kind of like, it felt like, I don't know, I'm typically in life swayed to go to the right. You know, if there's two options, right or left, I'm going to go right. It just feels
interesting. See, I would go left because it's like how you read, left to right.
Fair. So I think it's maybe just a comfort thing. In that moment, Ashley, you know this. And listeners, you've heard us say this. That is not a thought through moment.
It's
you
not.
Are black. Like you are so nervous. Like everything goes blurry. You're just trying to walk the 50 feet to get to them, not make a fool of yourself, say your name, and get out of there so that you can get some like comfort. That is, there's very few people that confidently have that moment down pat, and they do it like with a thought through, like with a thoughtful action. I mean, that's why I'm always impressed with these dudes who have like lines and poems and huge entrances. I'm like, you guys are crazy. Like, I literally couldn't walk even. I was so nervous.
I was thinking, I want to make a point to say, talk to a producer. And they said they were very, like, they made it be an important thing that the girls were together during that intro and not separate like Caitlin and Britt.
Yeah.
Because with Caitlin and Britt, I mean, that's just setting them up to actually be competing directly against each other.
Yeah.
And they wanted it to be like a united front.
That's good.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit, and it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Okay, this is like the first season where I wasn't really turned off by any intro. Like, I can't think of one that I was oh, that was gross. Really?
Ashley.
Wait, does one throw come up to you as being gross?
Yeah, not maybe.
Which one?
I thought it was, I had a big, like, a lot of, a big issue. Or not a big issue. Like, I'm not, like, thinking, I didn't, like, lose sleep over it.
Oh, I know. No, I'm stupid.
I thought the choir was inappropriate.
Was horrible.
I thought it was inappropriate for Clayton. I mean, this dude, like, he was just trying to go through this process. I know people maybe aren't the biggest fans of Clayton, but he showed himself to now be a very committed boyfriend to Susie, and he's, you know, worked his way out of this. You know, obviously his name's going to be brought up because he was just the last season. That's expected. But I thought to have a choir sing a hateful song about any human, one, is just hard to watch, and two, it was kids. Like,
yeah,
kids doing this. If it was an adult choir, I'm like, whatever, that was just goofy. But you're gonna have a bunch of kids spew hate in a song about another man as you get out of a limo. For me, I was over it for the moment it started, and I think it was something that I said, I don't know where this came from. I don't know where this was born from, but I did not enjoy it. And I did. I thought it was one of the worst entrances I've ever seen on the show.
I apologize for that not coming to my mind. When you said the word gross, I was thinking more like gross humor.
Yeah,
I already talked about on the Gabby and Rachel episode yesterday how I thought that was just really, really... distasteful. Whose entrance was that? That's what's weird. We think of the chorus, but we have no idea, or at least I have no idea, who came out to that.
Yeah, you're right, Ashley, because it's forgettable because we remember the choir. We don't remember the person stepping out because we're all probably so consumed with the choir. But it was Alec who got out of the limo at that moment and kind of walked forward again. Can't fully blame him because I don't think he wrote that song, and I also don't think he had hired this choir. But he, but I will say this: no matter what the plans was, he agreed to it, and I think
exactly.
That's what he agreed to have that be his entrance. And I think for that we need to go. Come on, there's got to be more to this story than what we see. Then
I agree. Then there was Roby who did the card trick. And hey, I know Roby is a little bit off and that he got eliminated in this episode, but you get me with the card trick.
Oh, I loved Roby. I'm shocked Roby went home because I think Roby is probably one of the, he'd be super entertaining in the house where there's nothing to do because there are cards that you can play. Mm-hmm. Two, he seemed very kind. And very nice. Now, he's nervous, sure. Everybody is. Maybe he's not as smooth as some of the other guys are. He couldn't hide his nerves as much. That's okay, too. I liked Roby. I don't know if he was meant to marry either of them, but I sure as hell wanted to see more of him. I wanted to watch him for a few weeks at the least.
Do you think that his name is actually Roby, or is it Robbie and he likes to be interesting?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I want to imagine his name's Robby and he wants to be interesting. I like that more. I mean, he just seems like the type of guy, Ashley, that if he was here 2 or 3 weeks, one, he'd be a fan favorite. Two, he would do and like people in the house would love him. And then three, he would shine in paradise. I'm not maybe saying romantically. I'm just saying that he's like, he would become one of those people in Bachelor Nation that people just love to meet and be around because he's entertaining and he's intriguing. I think there's a lot more to Roby than what we saw. I was shocked. I guess in short, I was shocked to go home. Okay, that's enough about Roby. He did the card trick. He went home. We won't hear about him again. Maybe in Paradise. I don't know if he's there. But what other intros were really kind of that stood out to you?
Okay, I won't say it was like a specific one, but I will say the first like 5 or 10 minutes of intros, maybe the first five guys that come out of the limo,
I'm like impressed by. Yeah. I'm like cute and nice seeming, cute and well put together, like all that. And I feel like it's been a while since we had a season where it was like, ah, good catch. Oh, this could be a good group, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the vibe that I got with that first limo or so.
I would say the same thing. I really think the first intro then that threw me off, you know,
the first intro threw you off?
No, the first intro that did throw me off. Like all of them were like how intros I believe should be done. They should just be an intro. Like, I'm here. I'm excited to talk to you. You look beautiful. All right, see you later kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was the guy, I imagine if I could see myself doing this, trying to say it with the best of intentions, and then going to bed that night and banging my head against the pillow being like, you are such an idiot. You are so awkward. Why can't you be smoother? That was my dating life. It's fun to be married and give that up. But
so fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so great. But is the guy that came up and was like, I haven't had sex in a year and a half.
Oh my God, yes.
I thought that was so weird.
You're right. That was the first one that like, I'm like watching, you know, like I'm watching casually. Yeah. And then, like, all of a sudden, I have an S6 in your, and then you, like, perk up, and you're like, what was that?
Like, what was the point? Like, he didn't, and I imagine he was, like, in his mind, he was like, okay, I'm going to tell them that I've been really excited for this, and I'm super committed to this, and I've saved myself for a year and a half to meet you all. Well, one, he didn't know he was going to be on the show for a year and a half, so there's, like, a year there where he has to explain what he was waiting on. And two, all he said then was, I haven't had sex in a year and a half because I've been waiting for you to. And then it was like an awkward silence. And Gabby, even when he walks away, goes, well, that makes one of us. And I thought that was amazing. Like, I thought she's so good.
So funny.
But weird, right? Like, that was awkward. That was not like,
it was so weird. It was like he was missing a point. Yeah. Like, the producers definitely like were like, well, what can we talk about that's really interesting about you? And then he said that.
Yeah.
And then they like probably came up with like this something that would like come to a point, like a meaning. And then like he totally missed it or just like didn't deliver it with a confidence that he should have. I don't actually think that there's really anything you could. I don't think that was a bad move to say in general.
That's just weird. It's your first meeting. Like if I'm
your first meeting.
Yeah. Like what if I go on a blind date? Okay.
Yeah.
I sit down to the table. I said, I'm so excited to meet you tonight. I haven't had sex in a year and a half. Like, that's weird. That's weird.
Your opening line at a bar. Yes, that's what you have to think of this as.
Hey, I'm a good guy. I want you to know that, like, I'm not a player. I've had sex in a year and a half. Like, any girl is going to be like, well, I mean, that's tight. Like, tell me more.
This is from Ben Higgins, who's so openly, you know,
yeah,
went without for a long time.
Yeah, my wife and I saved ourselves from marriage with each other, obviously, because on national television, you know, I admitted the opposite. But Jessica and I were together for 3 years. It's something we've talked about many times. But like, that was not Jessica's opening line to me. You know,
so funny.
Like it isn't. She didn't come like we didn't have our first date and she's like, hey, you know, by the way, I'm super excited to be here tonight. Just to let you know, I haven't had sex in, you know, my lifetime. I'm like, no, that took a few dates. It took some like, hey, tell me about yourself. Tell me what's important to you kind of conversations. Anyways, it was weird to me. That threw me off. Any others stood out to you, Ashley, in terms of entrances?
Jacob on the horse when the girls were like, it's Fabio, yeah. It's Fabio. I mean, it's pretty classic.
Guys,
and then
jacked.
Tino.
Massive, yeah. massive pecs on the dude. I mean,
yeah,
really poked out there. and he was all oily, of course. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then there was Tino, and his entrance to me felt like that classic, he's it entrance that we get. It was like a Jordan Rogers. Yeah. It was like a Sean Booth. It was just like, that's the moment. It's the moment for one of them. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was like, he was confident. He's obviously good looking. It was smooth. But again, it was very simple. It was, hey, I'm here for you. Or you two, or whoever, you know, he was there for at the beginning. And he walks in, and from that, you can kind of just see the spark. Now, I also have a theory, Ashley. The music changed when he got out of the limo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think we remember, like, we have a little, like, thought in the back of our minds about him because the music supported his entrance.
They love that. Add the music. So it's like, okay, now you're going to feel this for this guy. And then it's going to go away and he's going to stand out in your heart. It's just like, you know how smells get you? Yeah. Like they jog your nostalgia. Yeah. That music will do the same thing.
Definitely. And
it's such a cool little mental trick.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was a contestant now, my only request to the show would be make sure it's always really good music behind me. People
mine
like
was
more.
Never.
Yeah, people.
Mine
like
was
me.
Always do 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 do.
Oh man. Okay, so Ashley, the entrances are done. We've gone through the ones that stood out to us. It is now time for Rachel and Gabby, as they say, to divide and conquer, and talk to all 32 men who have walked through that door. The opening speech, in my opinion, was great. It was what was needed. It was special. The two of them together doing it. Again, we get a sense of support that the two of them have for each other. I think that's going to be a theme throughout the season. I also, after talking to Jesse last week on the podcast, I'm not fully convinced that the show expected such support. Like, this could have gone very poorly, where the two women do get jealous and envious and they collide. But I think Gabby and Rachel are so great that the show got really lucky and the two of them really do go through this whole season supporting each other. And I don't know if the show, I think once they met Gabby and Rachel, they're like, oh, yeah, these two people will be great. But I think the show, it could have really backfired on them if they didn't have that kind of strength within each other.
Well, like I said yesterday, it's like, you girls are like so good. Like, you are good quality people. You're far better than me.
Yeah.
You guys were encouraging each other to make out with the other guy that you liked. Like, what? Like, these are special too.
Yeah. I don't know if I could. I mean, I don't even know if I could do that. I think I would be jealous and envious. But yeah, they're like encouraging each other to. I mean, the two of them, I just think are awesome. I'm a big fan of the two of them.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian premium cocktail maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to: hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long, the worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit, and it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, so Gabby and Rachel then break off to start talking to the men. Ashley, just like we did with the intros, what conversations or what moments really stood out to you? Good and bad.
All right, so it's mostly Rachel's that stood out to me.
Okay.
So I'll start there. One with the race car driver, Jordan. Loved that convo. He surprised her. He surprised us all. I think he kind of looks like a baby. He's a race car driver. And just like something about him getting out of the limo.
What do you mean looks like a baby?
He kind of looks like a little babe.
Oh, a little babe.
You know what I think? You know, he's like,
do you find him good looking?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good-looking dude. I think
he's one of the better-looking guys. Like, I'd definitely have my eye on him if I were with the girls.
I think he stood out to me. If we'd have to listen back, but he was in some of my like guys to look out for in a good way.
Oh,
before the season started. And he's a race car driver. I mean, that's just cool.
He, I guess there's like a sense of young to me. And I was like, oh, I don't know if like the girls are going to be like down for like the young vibe, but he like, he had like swag and like a sweetness. And I felt like, definitely some sexual tension between the two of them when they were going around the car. Really liked that moment. Of course, really liked her moment with Tino. Yeah. That was great at the stairs. So cute. And then after she gave him the first impression rose, loved that moment between the two of them too. Like, if you look at the scenes to the next episodes, it's her making out with Tino in like every spot in the world.
Well, I mean, that's kind of tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds fun. You know who the race car driver kind of looks like to me?
Jeff Holm?
No.
Oh.
Come on. Ryan Phillippe.
Well, you know I love Ryan Phillippe so much. Holy shit.
Does he kind of look like him?
I love Ryan Phillippe. Yes. Yes, there is. Yes.
Okay.
See? A permanent youth. You know what? Ryan Phillippe's like 47.
Yeah, he looks like he's 22.
I know.
Good for him.
Oh my God. He talk about swag and sexuality. Don't get me started with Ryan Phillippe.
Ashley's shifting in her seat. She's all she's all bothered.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So then there was one other guy for Rachel that I was really feeling her with. Does anybody come Aven? To your mind for her?
Aven.
Yeah, Aven. That was so, I like their convo. So cute. Like, there's some great guys.
He's going to be around
her.
A while. He's kind of like on the Tino level. Maybe night one, he didn't kind of stand out as much because he didn't have that unique, like, staircase kind of moment. But I think Aven is, I just think he's going to be around a while. I think he's kind of both of their types in a lot of way.
Uh-huh.
And he seemed, just even like from his facial expressions, you know, which is all you have to go off of really on night one around the other guys. He just kind of seems like that guy that one people like. I will say, you know, the Tinos of the world who get the first impression rose make me nervous because we kind of get built up liking this contestant. And then over the last few seasons, sometimes they disappoint us or we aren't sold out on them. However, Tino, and this was such a small line that he said, but it's awkward to get the first impression rose. I remember kind of when I was in that house and Sean got the first impression rose and he walked back in and he sat down and like, you can't really help it, but you're jealous, you're angry, you're like, you know, could have been me. And Tino walks into the room and he goes, all right, guys, I'm going to sit here so you can all get like angry at me, or said something like that. And it like made it a joke. And then all of them kind of laughed. Like he knew it was going to be awkward and he confronted it and he kind of did it in a humble way. And I was like, I think this dude might be legit. Like, I don't think he's going to disappoint us because he had the social awareness to recognize how uncomfortable it was for him to come back into the room. And he also had the confidence to speak it out loud to the whole group. And as a result, I have a feeling that will continue for the rest of the season. Unlike some who get the first impression rose, who kind of sit down and we hear him like in the ITM being like, look at this. Yeah, I got the first impression rose, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, agreed. And then there's Mario who got Gabby's first impression rose. I didn't feel as much between them as I did between Rachel and Tino. What about you?
Well, I mean, I think it was a good moment. They were both wanting somebody to kiss them. The race car driver really missed the boat there on that one. I think he had a great shot at first impression rose if he just would have, you know, leaned in. However, it's night one and you don't know, you know, what's appropriate
really
and what's
don't
not.
Know. I would have thought no kissing on night one especially at the time that we were on the show, kissing on night one was not a norm.
Not a norm.
And now it is.
Yeah. But I think there is when you do kiss somebody, there is this level of I like you, I'm attracted to you kind of feeling. So it is comfortable to do, but it's still uncomfortable to do because it's night one. You've just met them and you know that they're meeting a lot of people. So anyways, the Mario kiss, like that was just like an awkward kiss to me.
Okay, same.
Was like, whoa, like they kind of went like nose to nose for a bit. They didn't like...
Gabby said it was a good kiss. She was like, I really vibed that. And I was like, oh, really? Because it didn't look the best to watch.
I'm sure there's more to it than what we saw, but they did go nose to nose for a bit, which is always uncomfortable. And they didn't really get out of the nose to nose angle for a few seconds there, which kind of was hard to watch. I get really uncomfortable when people kiss on this show, so I have a hard time watching it. But I did feel like his assertiveness and his ability to take that step and just his question asking made me say, okay, there's something here. Maybe we don't have the spark like we think we have with Tina and Rachel, but we have something there. So I wasn't shocked that he got the first impression rose, really.
Okay.
I want to hear, you know, this is obviously something that is really cool, but unlike when you watch a show in the past, every guy, at least that I remember last night, asked for permission to kiss them.
I like that for night one.
Yeah.
For night one, that's cool because you literally have had a 10-minute conversation and you're like, can I test the waters?
Yeah. If
that was like on a 9-hour date, I'd be like, you don't have to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, once there's like chemistry and there's a relationship built, then like, you know, maybe you don't have to ask every time for permission. But I did find it respectful and
me
something
too.
Unique that every guy, at least that I remember, that asked, like that wanted to kiss them, asked them permission first.
Mm-hmm. Then there was Eric, who kissed Gabby, but did not kiss Rachel, but had a good moment with both of them. Lots of laughter, good chemistry between the two. I thought he was going to go from Gabby and kiss her and then immediately go kiss Rachel. And then we would have had a nice little conversation on our hands, but that is not how it went. He was probably smart in not doing that, but he was definitely a little hurt at the fact that he didn't get one of their first impression roses. And thinking back, I do feel like Gabby had more of a chemistry, like a natural ease with him than she did with Mario, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, we got to see a lot more of the conversation with Eric. I wondered if he was going to kiss both. Now that we know how comfortable the two of them are in this scenario, I wonder what would have gone on if they would have said, I kissed Eric. Oh, I kissed Eric. And I thought it was very wise of him. Not that he didn't want to kiss Rachel, but I thought it was very wise of him to be like, hey, night one, like, let's see how this thing plays out. Because you don't want to be that guy. I just don't think you do. It might work out for you. It might be a fine thing. I think he's a front runner here, but you just don't want to be that guy in the back of your mind that has kissed both leads on night one. I had preconceived notions about Eric from his picture that was, you know, shown.
People think he looks like a Nick Viall.
Yeah. And after kind of hearing him talk to both and hearing his ITMs, I was a lot more in favor of Eric. I think he had a good head on his shoulders. I thought he was not as maybe cocky as I assumed he was going to be.
See, I think he's cocky.
Really? Okay.
I think he's going to end up being cocky.
That's fair. That could still happen.
Subtle signs to me that he was like, ugh, why didn't I get first impression rose?
Yeah. Well, is it Eric or Ethan that
I don't
had the conversation about the chest hair? Because I thought that's when I really liked that person too, was one of them had a conversation about chest hair and his line so quickly to Gabby was, do you shave your chest hair? And I thought that's hilarious. I thought it was great.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. And then,
I don't know. I thought
it was a good first, like, funny, lighthearted conversation and a great first, like, line, knowing Gabby's personality, that she was going to enjoy that, like, kind of humor.
Logan? No. It
was one of the guys. But whoever did it, I think I like them a lot too. Okay.
There's one other guy that I think stood out. And that's Ryan from Boston.
Yeah,
Gabby laugh a lot.
Yeah, you said that you thought Gabby really liked him.
You don't think so?
No, I don't not think so. I don't think I felt it as maybe as clearly as you did, but yeah.
Okay.
The laughter was important, and I think I'd only add one person to this list. It's Hayden. I thought Hayden was kind of quietly in the mix all night.
Yes, he was.
I thought he kind of was kind of the like quiet underdog who I believe we're going to get to see a lot more of this season.
He from Florida?
Yeah.
There's one from Florida that was like, that Rachel was like, oh, my brother lives in Tampa. And you just think there was something there.
Yeah, it might have been him. But those are the guys that stood out to us on night one. the guys that kind of that we'll be watching now. Again, as hard as it is for Gabby and Rachel to understand and know these guys' names, it's even harder for us. We won't remember them until probably week five.
Guys. Come on now. But, you don't remember them either.
Yeah. But it's the guys, and you know what they were talking about, and you know the vibe of the moment. Okay, so we talked about the first impression rose. Mario and Tino get the first impression rose. Tino from Rachel. Mario got his from Gabby. They're moving on, which brings us into the final part of the show. One quick note as we go into the rose ceremony that did not exist was that I really became a bigger fan of Rachel after she admitted her fear of clowns, which is my fear and which would be my answer if I was sitting in that moment. Clowns are weird to me. I don't know why they exist and I don't know what they're good for.
Oh, that's like it's like a twice a year conversation that brings up the fear of clowns.
It doesn't make any sense. It's so
they are horrible. I don't understand as well why they exist, especially in 2022.
Yeah, they're weird. So kudos to Rachel for being honest and speaking on behalf of all of us who have a fear of clowns. Okay. Well, we know that the rose ceremony now gets canceled and that Gabby and Rachel send home three people and three people only. The twins, let's start there. Shocking in some ways that they went home.
You guys, I thought that they were going to be like Pete Davidson twins from Staten Island based on their pictures. And I thought that they were going to be like BDE, you know? And I thought they were going to be a funny comedy duo together. I don't know. I guess I just literally thought that they're going to show up like Pete Davidson. Yeah. And they were the opposite of Pete Davidson. They're basically just like guys out of college that were still like into talking about college.
Yeah.
And they were really stale. They were the opposite of what I was expecting. It was just like hanging out with two guys that, it's like, you know, I don't know. This is like the most Ashley comment ever. Ben, put yourself back in the day when you used to like go on vacation with your family. And you'd like scour for like girls to like kind of hang out for the week.
Heck yeah.
You relate? Okay, great. So my sister and I would go around and do this like on a cruise, right? It's like almost like you're interviewing like boyfriends for the week.
Yeah.
And then you'd sit down with these two and you'd be like, oh, they were okay to hang out with like for an hour, but like we're not going to hang out with them for the rest of the week.
Well, it's weird too, because they were, I think, two most followed people on social media going into this season. So my expectation was, okay, they're doing this and they're going to become celebrities from the show, but off the show. And they're going to use this to increase their following and their whatever. And so they're going to be around a while. For the two of them to go home on night one was a little shocking because they are good looking and they are twins. And there is something to that. I don't know what is to that now after kind of being a part of the Ferguson twins on my season. It was hard. You know, they're both really incredible. And so I wanted them both around. They were both unique in their own ways, but it got weird after a while because it felt like then just in that environment, when the group's hanging out together, like they sat next to each other because they're comfortable with each other and they're already friends with each other and they know each other. And then you go on dates. And if the two of them are there, it's weird. And it's hard to kind of separate which one's who. I don't know what storyline, I guess, could have existed unless they kind of split off and one dated one and one dated the other. But yeah, they went home. But I do think it was shocking for most people because I think after they showed up, people thought, hey, they'll be around a while. And
yeah,
the conversation, like Gabby's facial expressions during that conversation where she kind of sat in the middle and one sat on one side and the other, felt like there's no way these guys are around. Like there's no way this is who she's like going to try to date long term.
Yeah, I have to say that I relate because when my sister came to Paradise, as much as I loved having her as like that emotional crutch, it was not good for me. Like I just was going to hang out with her and stick by her side and not go and meet new people. It was just, it was bad. Also, just think I should add that it is crazy the fact that like we get a set of guy twins for the first time, right? Just like the Ferguson twins. And it seems like, oh, it's like revolutionary. And then for them to be like that is weird. Like for them to be eliminated night one is super crazy.
I
like,
a feeling
could we find, we found some like more dynamic twins?
Well, I think the casting department probably thought they hit a home run by finding two good looking guy twins to come on the show and agree to come on the show. And then the casting department's watching Night One's episode, and they're like, you got to be kidding me. Like, we worked so hard for this moment for years. This is our big get, and now they're gone. I'm sure they're upset. I it's hard, Ashley, if we're both honest, to have too much of a judgment on Night One, because it is such a weird environment. There are a lot of nerves. There's a lot of anxiety. Some people flourish in it. Some people don't. And it takes them weeks to kind of come out of their shell and actually show off who they are and what they stand for. And so, yes, the two of them didn't shine on Night One. It doesn't mean, I mean, they have a social media following. Maybe they're more comfortable kind of behind that. But they just didn't show up.
Who are they funny on social media? Did you look this up?
I think they dance. I don't know.
Oh, they're dancers.
I think it's like TikTok.
They're TikTok dancers.
TikTokers. Well, the other person that went home was somebody that did show up to Night One. And he showed up well. And he's a memorable character from Night One.
Showed up well?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robbie. Showed up well.
I like Robbie.
I want to date you, Way, but like well Ruby, to us Roby. As an audience.
I liked Robbie. I thought that dude had something to him that we needed to see more of, and I hope we can see more of it. I liked Robbie. I thought he had confidence. I thought he put on a tux, that he looked, he played the part. Yes, he was probably like not fitting in with the group, but I think long term, Roby's one of those types of guys that might like grow on you a bit, and you're like, I could date this dude. No.
Entertainment for life. Now, we talked about this with Gabby and Rachel, so pardon us if you're kind of hearing this conversation for the second time, but the fact that they pulled the guys out to eliminate them instead of doing it at the rose ceremony, to me, felt more like a personal ouch.
Yeah.
At least if you get eliminated at the Night One rose ceremony, you're like, oh, you know, they didn't get to know me, whatever. But like, they pull them aside and they're like, you know, we did get to know you and we don't like it.
I know that there's no right way, as we told them, to eliminate people. There isn't, right? I mean, there's, you can think of a thousand ways to do it. And I do feel like the personal kind of rejection is at the time it feels better to do, because you're feeling like you're giving people that time. However, I watched it and I was just like, oh, how would you like to be the three dudes that don't even make it to week two? Like, you're just, you can't even make the cut that didn't exist. Like, they're not having a rose ceremony. You couldn't even make the cut that did not happen. You couldn't even make it to the first rose ceremony. The connection was so bad.
But also, what they did was probably the right thing to
sure.
do.
It
Could
just
you
hurt.
Imagine them going through like 28 roses? Or how was there 32 guys?
Yeah.
They go through 29 roses and just be like the three that are eliminated there? No. Like, what they did was right, but it also is just like...
It hurt. It hurt to watch. And I can't imagine, like, you know, you think about the people going back home. So those guys are on a flight that night or the next morning to go back home. They pull up to their parents' house or to their apartment. Their parents are like, what happened? You're like, I got eliminated. They're like, oh, you got eliminated Night One? Dang. They're like, well, kind of.
it's like half of Night One, yeah. Kind of.
Like, yeah.
To make them feel better, if the girls only talk to half the guys, that means, like, let's just for sake of easy math, say, like, they talked to 15 guys. So then they were rejected from a pile of 15 guys, not a pile of 30.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You know, this happens now twice, where before the rose ceremony even existed, somebody goes home. Last time it was with Ryan. If you remember Ryan in The Notebook, wasn't that Night One or not night? Was that the week after?
What do you mean, Ryan with The Notebook?
He wrote like
a
playbook.
Ryan with The Notebook full of tips.
Yeah, that felt
early on to me.
I don't know if
that was week one.
Was it week one? I don't know. It was sometime around there. But these two women, they let Roby and the two twins, I don't remember their names, unfortunately, go home. So they don't make it to the first rose ceremony. But the guys are going on to week two, most of them. And that's kind of where the episode ends. Which brings us then to the preview for the rest of the season, which, Ashley, you had a lot of feelings on. So walk us through the preview for the rest of the season. What were your thoughts? What were you thinking? And do you get more excited after watching that preview for what's going to happen?
I get a little concerned after watching the preview.
Okay.
That
it's not going to end happily for one of them. There's a lot of tears. I think there will be a guy who, well, it's pretty obvious. There will be a guy that goes from like team so-and-so to the other team. And that'll be hard. We see Rachel get some roses rejected. So it seems like there will be a time where like they have to draft their team. And the guys, of course, have a say on which team they're going to go to. It's a mutual or it's a 50-50 decision. and then I'm just excited where things go with Rachel and Tino because we see so much of them. Oh, my God. If something happens with Tino, that would be devastating. So, I'm already so invested in them. And I think that is basically what I gathered from. We also don't see any like preview of an engagement.
We didn't, but they're both happy. There was something.
You know, they're both happy. Yeah. You can be happy and also be single.
Yeah. I would agree. I wrote a book about it.
Yeah. Has anybody ever left the show and said, yeah, I got off the show. How was my experience? You know, tease us the ending. And then they go, I'm miserable. Hey, yeah. Like none of them have ever been like, I'm miserable. And there's definitely been people that should have said that.
Yeah, I get it. I think the preview pointed to some more drama that we kind of expect. I will say that Tino is definitely a front runner. I think he is. His storyline with Rachel is going to be impactful at some level. I'm curious to see how this whole like teaming up, which side are you on, plays out, because it feels like a really hard math problem to me. Like I have to pick you, you have to pick me. We have to be in our top 15. Now let's do the checklist to see if I'm on your team or if I'm on the other team. I don't know how that's going to play out. I'm still curious about that, but it is going to be a good season, Ashley. And I am still more excited than ever about Gabby and Rachel and watching them together on television, but also seeing how their individual experiences play out. So first, it's a great first episode. We're going to be back next week, breaking down the second episode. We're going to have it for you as soon as we watch it, which will be like on a Tuesday, I think is when we'll be sharing these episodes now. Because we'll watch it on Monday night, break it down on a Tuesday morning, and get it out to you right here on the Almost Famous podcast. But until then, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. See you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.